This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. We've got Kurt Rogers in studio with us and our special guest today, Sheriff Tony Spurlock from Douglas County, and we'll get to him here momentarily. But Mr. Rogers, what's happening in your neighborhood in the mortgage world?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, yeah. It's still staying busy there, and everybody knows with rates down low, everybody's been busy. It's kind of slowed down a little bit first 8-10 days of January, and then after that it just took off again.
Wow.
When you look at the rates, how do you pass it up? It's almost free money when you consider what you can do. What we're seeing a lot of is people buying investment properties. And you would think, because so many people are afraid that the market's going to crash, they wouldn't do that. But if you think about it, if I'm buying an investment property now, my payments are going to be $50 to $100 a month less because of rates. Because of that, it's going to cash flow better for me. Even if the value goes down, I don't lose any money because I haven't sold the home. And I can still make the payments because people are there. So it's actually a great time. That's why the part of the problem we're having in housing is there's just not enough homes because there's people buying investment properties.
So you think rates are going to stay where they are for a while?
Well, and we talked about this before the show, is rates have gone up and they've gone down over the last week to 10 days. Now, a lot of that people are blaming on politics, but it's not so much politics. It is part of the fact that they want to increase the stimulus. They want to do a $1.9 billion stimulus. Well, that has a tendency to affect the bond market. And when that happens, inflation is starting to go up. Two things that mortgages don't like is the bond market, stimulus packages, and inflation. Well, that happened, and rates went up about an eighth of a point is all. But you can feel it. You could see customers kind of backing off of it. This week, rates have turned around and come right back down. I mean, we're right back to where we were about a month ago. Rates are in the low twos. Everything's moving again. But that's because we're hearing some pushback on the stimulus.
Right.
And I think that's going to be true.
Now, what about jumbo loans? And let's say, what is, first of all, a jumbo loan considered? What amount?
Anything over $596,850 is classified as a jumbo.
Which is about any house around.
Well, in Colorado, that's pretty much 50% of the homes. Even if it's only 800 square feet, it can be up there.
Tony, what'd you pay for your first house?
I think about $129,000, somewhere in that change. And that was in the early 80s.
My first one I bought here in Colorado was 92.7, and it was in Aurora.
Sheesh. Yeah.
90, and I thought that was, and my rate was 14.5.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. Yeah. But that's all I could afford.
Right.
See, and I that's why I like coming here, because I need you to continue to give me good news. You know, I'm going to retire in a couple of years. My wife and I have been in our house for like 17 years now, and in that neighborhood where we were at for like 20. And I'm like, yes, baby. Okay, come on, market. I want the market to hang on. Because when you buy a house, that what they're selling in my neighborhood right now is ridiculous.
I know.
I look at it, it's ridiculous. I said, I couldn't even sell my house and move into my neighborhood.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah, you can move next door.
I couldn't move into my neighbor's house.
I wouldn't pay what they think my house is worth.
Yeah.
I mean, I got lots of equity, but like you said, if I take that, where do I go? What do I get? I don't get something as nice as mine. So, no, I'll just stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
As far as the jumbos go, there for a while, from about March all the way through September, October, getting a jumbo loan was almost impossible because there was nobody on Wall Street wanting to buy them.
Hmm.
And since they're not conforming, they don't go under Fannie and Freddie guidelines, so they don't get sold in buckets. They get sold independently. So jumbo loans were very difficult. I've actually now got a couple lenders that you can get a low 3% type of jumbo loan, which is unheard of. Everybody else is wanting to make them 4, 4.5. But the jumbo loan market is starting to come back, and that's all the way up to $2 million. And for Colorado, that opens up another branch of business that those folks have had to struggle with for about the last 8-10 months.
Sure. Any mortgage needs, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500. And again, it is Affordable Interest Mortgage. Well, as I mentioned, it is great. Every few months, we are able to get Sheriff Tony Spurlock in studio with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, thanks for having me. And I sitting here talking about mortgage and properties, and this is my chance to ask the question to Kirk. You know, what we're seeing in the county, you know, just driving around, is these commercial buildings are vacant.
Yes.
Because a lot of companies have realized that they can actually function, you know, outside that business, so they don't need them anymore. What's that going to do to us? I mean, you think that will rebound, or?
That's one of the reasons that we're having so many people move out of downtown. You go downtown, and those office buildings are empty. I mean, the big companies have moved out, and they have no intention of going back in. And a lot of people, with everything that was happening there, they're going from urban to suburban. So that's what's driving up the price. And Douglas County is one of those that is just going crazy because of all the new builds that's going on. It's going to continue. It's going to actually help suburbia, but it's not going to help the urban area because those values and those condos have kind of decreased. You are exactly correct. In the commercial industry, there's going to be a lot of buildings. So they're going to have to kind of convert some of those over to become residential somehow, some way, to make that work, to fill the need. Because you just can't build enough houses. Right now, there's less than a 30-day supply of homes. We're normally supposed to have anywhere between 9,000 and 12,000. We got 3.
Yeah, I know when I go over to the west side and drive through Sterling Ranch, and I know those guys over there, and they're good people, and you know, just stop and talk to them to say, hey, how are you guys doing? They said, well, A, we have two problems. We quite frankly, don't have enough people to build the houses. we can sell every lot and every house that's built and put people in it. Mm-hmm. They're running against weather and just other kinds of conflicts, not the fact that, well, we don't want to build too many because we can't sell them.
Sure.
They can't meet the demand.
They can't meet the demand. And we're seeing that. You know, and obviously, yeah, Douglas County is growing, and I didn't realize it. I was driving to our substation, Highlands Ranch Division, one way, and I missed a turn. Must have been talking on the phone or something.
And
so I had to drive all the way around, and I looked, all of a sudden there was this huge apartment or condo building that was built on the other side of the RTD parking structure. I said, when did they put this up?
And slam bam, there it was.
Yeah. Yes. But what caught my eye was that, you know, buy now.
Right.
Before they're all gone.
Yeah.
And it was on a big banner out front. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, that, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that just must be a sales tactic. And,
it's,
you know, so you talk to people at the HRCA and Metro District. No. You know, they pre-sold those before they built them.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's supposed to increase this year. New builds are supposed to go up 25 to 30% from what they did last year. Reason being, there's not enough pre-existing homes that are in good enough condition that people want to buy.
Right.
When people go out to make offers, there was an article in the paper the other day, 50% of them have more than 8 offers on.
Wow.
So when you put your house out, there's 8 people wanting to buy it. Yeah. So you don't, the negotiation, and it's just going crazy. And it's surprises me, but I'm like the builders. It's just, yeah.
Well, I'm the same way. We my wife and I have talked about it, and I said, you know, we could sell it. We're in a wonderful neighborhood for kids, if you got kids. Mm-hmm. But I'm like going, I want to stay here. So why? I have a nice, cheap house payment. Why would I want to sell my house and go live somewhere else and pay a whole pile more money? I said, I guess we're just going to be the old people in the neighborhood.
The grandpas and the grandmas in the
grandma
neighborhood.
The grandma and grandpas. And I'm not saying that about my wife. She's not that. She's much younger than I am.
She won't acknowledge that.
She won't acknowledge that. So,
exactly. Yeah, so. All right, man. What a last 10, 12 months here. We're just coming up on a year, kind of all this breaking up here in a few weeks. I guess the big thing from your side and just the law enforcement side, you know, so much through all the election and all the protests and all the different things, you know, against the police and the treatment of law enforcement.
Right.
Man, that had to hit morale unbelievable with law enforcement officers.
It did. It hit morale. We had a pre-retirement really surge that happened in my office. I know it happened in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Around talking to my fellow sheriffs and chiefs. And that was a big thing. And part of it was when we talked to them about why, well, I just, you know, I don't want to be in this anymore, or I can go make the same amount of money or more in a private sector and move someplace else where it's not so argumentative.
Right.
That was a clear thing. Probably one of the things that was that struck us, and my guess is that most all my partners in law enforcement would say the same thing, are the millennials that came in to do this job and had been in just for a couple of years and saw the treatment globally around law enforcement, and then you get into the metro area, how around law enforcement. And I'm blessed. I always say, if you live in Douglas County right now and you're listening to this radio station, thank you. They treat us well.
Right.
We have a great relationship. But you can cross the street into Aurora, okay?
It's not.
And they've taken a beating, if you will. They've taken the way that they perceive their law enforcement, and I know all these guys have been around, and you know they're doing their very best to try to serve the community. Yes, mistakes are made, but they're really trying to make it. And these people that are in that millennial age bracket, they're like, I don't need to do this. Why would I want to do this? It used to be you were proud to put your uniform on and you put it on at home and you drove to work and you weren't afraid. Now you get dressed in your office. And you take off, you put regular clothes on, you don't have stickers on your car. And the sad part about it is it's probably, like we always say, there's 10% of the people that cause 90% of the problems, and the other 90% of the people are good people just trying to hold everybody else up.
Yeah.
And so there's a small group of people, and I still believe that.
Sure.
I had a lot of officers down in Denver assisting DPD and State Patrol. Along with Sheriff Brown and Sheriff Schrader over in Jefferson County, we sent cops down there, and I got live video from my cops and watching what they were doing, and they were getting rocks thrown at them and for defending a building that, quite frankly, said you don't get to destroy it, you shouldn't get to destroy it, and a lot of people say why are we doing this. And I had a lot of people question me why I was down, why I sent people down to assist Denver PD and State Patrol. And partially because that's what we do in this business. I have partnerships with them.
We're neighbors.
And we're going to send our troops down there. And we never abandoned the county. I had a lot of resources there. But the way they were treated when they left our jurisdiction and went down, and I don't want to diss the citizens of Denver. I think there's a lot of great people that live in the city of Denver. There was a lot of thugs and criminals that took over the streets, is what happened. And they're not a representation of the citizens.
They're 10% of the other side.
Yeah, they're not a representation of the citizens of Denver. There's some great people that live down there, and the great people that live in Aurora.
Right. I have a neighbor lives right across the street and down two doors. She's an Aurora police officer, District 1. Which is not one of the best ones there. And we sit around on the weekends and we talk. And some of the stories and what people say and do to her just because of that uniform. She's questioned whether she wants to do it. She loves being a police officer. But just because I put it on doesn't mean I'm a bad guy.
Right.
And she fights that battle every day. I feel sorry for many of you that are going through that. There's not a whole lot we can change on that, except for the perception, which is my question. What if you guys do differently now when you're going to encounter people or you think there's going to be resistance? Have you changed anything? Have you made differences?
I think we have, and we've set up a lot of training differently. We approach people differently now. We're obviously still trying to do as much as we can in communication to talk people into an agreement, if you will, of whatever the situation might be. But we do address folks differently. And I think guys and gals are making traffic stops differently because you never knew who you were contacting, but now if you're contacting them, and it's really a bizarre world now because every new car has expired plates by 6 months. Okay.
And well, people challenge you more now. But they feel that they can do that.
Right.
They just come at you.
Yeah. And And you kind of get a sense when you pull over a car after you've been in this business, you're like, yeah, there's going to be trouble here. And so we do, you know, we try to, because it's not really our mission to be bullies and to, you know, our job is to enforce the law and to keep people safe. And often we do get challenged nowadays more than we ever were challenged.
Right.
Because people had respect for not only the law enforcement, but for the law.
Yeah, for the law. Yeah.
And I, you know, I set my mind for coming to a radio show with you guys, because I know you two fellas, you know, and I'm like, should I cross that barrier and talk about it? But I got to be honest with you, you know, part of this disrespect for the law and just our country has played out in the political arenas.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's played out in the political arenas. It's played out in the press. It's played out in places where they're supposed to be the independent voice, and they're supposed to be the ones that are, you know, making sure that, yes, I get the left and the right, and you have obviously different opinions on social issues or whatever, but you can't villainize a group just because they might be connected to one side or the other. And I think people listen to that and they're like, well, that's what they say, so that's what I'm going
to
do.
It has to be the truth.
Yeah, it has to be the truth.
Well, and I mean, there was so much difference between, we've all saw it all over the summer too, with protest and then just out rioting. You know, I mean, there's a whole big difference. And I mean, you know, when I saw, you know, Hancock and Polis, I mean, never saw Hancock out on the steps of the Capitol going, this ain't going to happen on day one. You know, I mean, and I'm sure hopefully they look back and see some mistakes they made, but I don't know. Yeah. I'm not even trying to get political, and I don't mind getting political, but I mean, I'm not even talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm just talking about taking care of businesses down there and property and just, you know, not allowing it.
Well, you know, we had a number of lawful protests in Douglas County.
Uh-huh.
We had them at the school district. We had them at a number of other businesses. We had them in some parks over in Parker. We had them in downtown Castle Rock, Festival Park. And they were lawful protests, people voicing their opinion against the government, which that's what the First Amendment allows you to do. And they had bullhorns, and they were chanting or whatever, but they were voicing their opinion as Americans against a system that they thought needs to be fixed or corrected,
okay? Or abolished,
or abolished.
That baffles. No one. How do you do that?
Yeah, no one threw a rock. Yeah. No one started a trash can on fire. Nobody spray painted, you know, anything. They were lawful people asserting their constitutional right to address their government in a fashion that was designed 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay? Once you cross that line, you're a criminal. When you're breaking in people's property and you're destroying things, you're a criminal now. And our society says that. You don't get to destroy. And they say, well, you know, it's the state capital. It's ours. We pay taxes. That's a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. You can't say that. And it frustrates me when people say that. It's not your building, okay? It's also my building, and I don't want you doing that to my building.
Right.
That's right. I don't want to pay more taxes to fix what you're doing.
And so, you know, and I call them like I see them. These are thugs committing crimes. Now, I do believe that some protests can get heated, and that's totally okay as well. I was in one a long time ago in my life when if you remember when the Pope came to town here, and it was World Youth Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a young lieutenant assigned to a special task force, and I was downtown Denver standing between two groups of people. One was in front of Planned Parenthood, and one was on the other side, and they had their opinions, okay? You know, I remember that, and I was young, and I was like, ooh, this is going to be.
It's getting heated.
But you know what? This side chanted, carried their signs, and asserted themselves, and the other side did the same thing. We didn't have any rocks thrown at us.
No.
We didn't have, you know, there was none of that. They asserted themselves as our Constitution argues that you should, and they voiced their opinions. And, you know, there was obviously over those years we've had some changes in some of those areas.
Sure.
But. You know, it's just been, it's sad that we now have a group of people that seemingly being followed by this larger group, which I don't believe occurs.
Yeah.
And social media has made that different. Mm-hmm. Where they're
social mainstream media.
They're saying stuff that really has not, that's not occurring. And you know, we cannot. I said this to some people the other day. I was meeting with some citizens. I said, "Here, we're the greatest country in the world, and the greatest system in the world, and it's still terrible." Okay,
it's still got problems.
It's still got problems, but we have a mechanism to fix it.
Yes.
And that's where we should be putting our energy, not throwing rocks at the cops, burning cars. Some of these cops in jurisdiction around this country that had, you know, their cars burned. And I got to tell you, I am sickened to the fact of knowing, I know some guys at the Capitol Police. And I know them just because I've been in this business 40 years. I had the opportunity to attend the FBI Academy. I've had a lot of training back there. I know those guys, okay? And it sickened me that there is a crowd of people, of thugs and criminals, that pulled them out and beat them because they wanted to go in and make a statement, you know, to the Congress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are ways to do that. You protest on the steps of the Capitol, and you do those kinds of things. Those were thugs and criminals. And they should go to jail.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of other people in that crowd, I suspect, that were there to say, I just want to have my voice heard. I want my sign to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I want that congressman right there, the other guy right there, to see my face because I know him because I'm going to go see him in his house.
Yeah.
Okay? And have my voice. That's what America's about. Sure. You know, doing the criminal thing is truly that. It's just criminal.
That brings my next question up, and I know we're going past it.
That's okay. No, we're good.
Is how's it working for, with all of that going against police officers, how's it working for recruits? How's the school?
I knew that question gets asked a lot. It's difficult.
Because, that's the next 10, 20, 30 years, what we're doing now.
Right. Who you're hiring today are going to be the leaders of our
law
enforcement in 30 years, 20 years, 15 years. And it's very difficult to find folks. We always have the problem with our state being legal to smoke marijuana.
Uh-huh.
It is still against the federal law, and so we have moratoriums against it of smoking. Now, it's not – we don't say if you ever smoked it, you can never be here. But it's hard to find people now that are interested in wanting to be in this job because of all the other things.
Yeah.
And so the pool of people – has
shrunk,
and you still have this group of people that really should not be cops.
Right.
They got other issues.
They don't have the right disposition.
Right. And seeing it across the nation, and the county sheriffs of Colorado did a big poll on how they were dealing with it. And you can imagine this. We live in Denver, and so we kind of forget about what it's like to live in Prowers County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how difficult it is to find people that want to come there first to work because they don't want to be in the country or whatever. So you have a small group of people that are interested in maybe being in those smaller jurisdictions. And those people are growing up and going to college and moving away. Now who's going to come back and who's going to take care of that community? Right. And they're struggling. And I know those sheriffs are struggling of trying to find people. And then what happens is that I'll raise my pay and I'll make it so irresistible to come to me, and I'll take a guy that's been in Prowers County for 2 years, 1 year, and I'll draw him away because I've got benefits because I'm in the metro area. And he doesn't have that capacity because he doesn't have the tax base, and so it's hard to fill those places. And we're seeing that everywhere across the state and the nation, really.
All right. How do we get kids back to school with this? Because I'm telling you, so many parents are. I mean, there's so much just frustration. I think, and you know, I think it's where some of the anger, because nobody knows what to expect, and everything changes daily. Yeah. There's nothing anybody can count on. Hardly,
right, it
know?
Is. And I just I ask people to do kind of what I've done. I've looked at what we've done for a year. We've been almost in this thing a year now, almost. And you look at both sides of it. I think you got to look at both sides because mm-hmm. you get all of that. But I think there is enough information out there that. Reasonable people should be able to say, wait a second, people under the age of 20 years old, if they catch COVID, they probably don't even know it. You know, the percentage is so low, and we've seen that. And so, you know, those kids we can get back into school. And yeah, we do need to, when they come home from school, I think that their parents need to use, just like any other time, the cold and the flu season, you know, when you have a little kids, it's a petri dish. You use caution, wash your hands before you even come into this house. You know, you do all those kinds of hygiene things. That's just good stuff.
Especially now.
Especially now. But you got to get those kids back into school because there are so many other unforeseen consequences that is going to impact us for even a longer period of time other than them catching COVID and maybe spreading amongst a few of their kids. And of course, I'm not a doctor for crying out loud, and I have to listen to them. And
I taped the show with the doctor in Dallas this morning, and I said, you know, should kids get vaccine? He goes, no, because of what you just said.
Yeah.
He said, no. If you're
it's a
under,
waste of a vaccine.
Yeah. He said, if you're under, 21, 25, no. Yeah. And he said, we need to get kids back in school and playing sports and doing all the things. And again, like I say, be careful after,
sure.
Doing different things. But, absolutely not.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that people are talking about is obviously, and suicide is a huge issue in our country. It's a huge issue in the state of Colorado. And we're making a lot of strides on education and outreach and doing a lot of those kind of things, and it's a horrible thing. But, I think, again, sometimes people say, well, we got to do this because, a lot of these kids are committing suicide. I can just tell you, and I'm not going to talk about Douglas County. That's not happening in Douglas County. Our numbers went down. And we suspected that they would go up.
Yes.
I suspected that our domestic violence would go up, and it stayed the same. I suspected, other things would go up, and they didn't. But what did go up is we now have a group of kids who need to get into school. And they're now what we have, and we're going to do a podcast on it here in a couple, probably in a week, from my critical response team, and that's our multidisciplinary unit, goes out with a deputy and a clinician. We're seeing alcohol abuse skyrocket from kids to adults because they're now trying to figure out how to cope with stuff and cope with a lot of other things. I met with some parents that were very frustrated because their kids, they don't learn well in front of a screen, and I'm one of those kids.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine us doing that in school.
No way. I have to call help. And my kids are even getting older now, so I sometimes don't even call them. I have to reach out to
the
younger
people. I need an IT guy sitting next to me if
you
I'm
do,
on the screen.
Because it's really difficult for them. We've got to have this interpersonal connection. And that's part of growing up and making a society that will, again, help each other, contact each other, and take care of each other. You've got to have interpersonal skills, and you're not getting that in front of a computer.
Well, that's to me, that kind of goes back to where the divide that we're having now. People don't want to communicate with each other face-to-face. If I disagree with you, you are 100% wrong. Half the population's right, half the population's wrong. Just depends on which side of the fence you're on. And if we don't learn to be able to accept people having a difference of opinion or thoughts than we are, and we can't do that if we don't communicate with each other and get out there in community, that's going to continue to make that divide, in my opinion, worse.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, everybody gets very brazen and very big and very bold behind the keyboard.
Yes.
But if you're in school and you're on the playground, okay, everybody learns that lesson.
Sure.
I learned that lesson. Okay, I got pounded a bunch of times as a little kid. Okay, and I learned that lesson. That's a guy I stay away from. And also, I probably stop saying the things I was saying.
Yeah.
Okay?
quit antagonizing him.
Exactly. And we're eliminating that from our
coping
young people.
Skills.
Our coping skills, yeah. And so, I got to tell you, I was always torn a little bit. I'm like, okay, let's not get anybody sick or whatever. I'm not torn anymore. We got to get our kids back into school. We got to get them back into school as early as we can and get them back learning because there are a lot of kids. We have to accept the fact, too, is that there's still this percentage that has trouble with technology, and that's okay. So we still have a responsibility of educating them, and they'll turn out to be great people.
Sure.
We're not doing that if they're at home, because here's the other problem we have at homes. A lot of these people, because they have to stay home, take care of their young ones, and maybe their job moved them to home. And so now you have everybody in this house trying to do the same thing. And I can only imagine, I live in a very affluent community, so they, you know, there's probably three or four computers in every house, all right, on the average. I can only imagine in communities that don't have the ability that my the people that I serve do. Yep. You can imagine only having one computer and having you know, bandwidth that's regulated, and still trying to let three kids learn.
Well, mom or dad's at home trying to do their still, job at the same time.
Yeah, they're on Zoom calls. Yeah.
They're on
Zoom
trying to make a living. Trying
they
to make
gotta,
a living.
They got to put the kids in at these times.
And school is not designed to be a babysitter, but it is designed to also help the family grow, too, because when the kids are at school, the family can get a job and feed them and do everything else. I mean, that's been our world for hundreds of years.
You see how it works.
So, yeah. If we don't have them in school, we're impacting... That ripple effect is huge, and we're seeing that in alcohol contacts with kids. We're seeing one thing we did see, shoplifting went out of the roof.
Really?
Because with the kids, they're not staying at home. They're not staying at home. They're out of the house because
they're
somewhere. You know, it's recess. You know, and so some of the things that we thought was going to happen didn't, but there was a ripple effect on the other side of that coin, which is just equally as damning to your community.
Right.
And when you have businesses closed and you can't, kids have no place to go and there's no one to talk to, and then all of a sudden they go into parks and again, not every kid's bad, but they start to vandalize it.
One shows up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They vandalize it, and we're seeing that a lot in Highland Ranch and the parks where they're vandalizing the you know, the park restrooms and those kinds of things. And you know, it's just one of those kinds of things that wouldn't be happening.
They were in school.
If they were in school.
Real quick before we hit a break here, just got a text in. Have you seen increase in marijuana use in teenagers?
So we have always seen an increase in that. You know, I should actually get those numbers to see where it's at, but yes, because it is so available now and is so accepted in our state,
well,
which
deliver
is a shame.
It to you.
Yeah, right, which is a shame. I'll just say that again. Kids are now smoking it, and they know that we're not going to do anything, because here's the other part about this whole pandemic and everything else. We're not taking people to jail for those kinds of things, and we're not taking kids to kiddie jail for those kinds of things, and we're most likely not even writing tickets, because that ticket is not going to see the inside of a court for 2 years.
Yeah.
Because the system is clogged. And so what's happening now is law enforcement is just turning a blind eye to it. And again, you know, you can call me what you want, but marijuana is not good for a young person to smoke. It's not good, you know, regular cigarettes, it's not good for a young person to smoke. It's not healthy.
Vaping isn't good for you.
It's not good for you, and that's going to impact their thought process, their reasoning. And if they're in school, there are other kids that are telling them, that's not a good idea, don't do that. You're on a basketball team. Oh, I mean, we can't even get our basketball teams to play, our football teams to play. And you have influences in school that will say, hey, here's the thing, don't drink, Jimmy, because if you drink, you don't get to play on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so guess what Jimmy doesn't do? Doesn't drink.
Yep.
Okay? Because he's influenced by his peers. Right now, we don't have that because it's very minimized. And it's left to the parents to try to deal with all that, with all the other things that they have to deal with, to earn a living and pay their bills and have two jobs now in a house with one computer, you know, all those. And that's just not good for our society.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio on a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Sheriff Tony Spurlock is our guest. Our lines are open, 303-477-5600. If you've got a question, we'll be right back. The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store. From live bait to goose decoys, from sleeping bags to Sitka gear, you'll find it all at the Outdoorsman's Attic. They offer a great selection of new and pre-owned hunting, fishing, and camping items, and you'll save 20 to 60% off retail. And if your firearm needs cleaning or some work, see Scott the Gunsmith at the Outdoorsman's Attic. And if you've got some gear you want to turn into cash, head over to the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Let them know you heard about them here on KLZ 560.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable interest mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Check out the winter car package at D&D Tire. For just $44.99, you will get a lube, oil, and filter. Your fluids will be topped off, and your vehicle will receive a complete visual inspection. D&D Tire Winter Car Package also includes a tire check. They'll check your tread depth and air pressure and rotate your tires and inspect all belts and hoses. It's the Winter Car Package, only available at D&D Tire. Three locations to serve you, one in Parker and two in Aurora. Family owned and operated, that's D&D Tire.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney. Distracted driving isn't worth the risk. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has nearly 25 years of experience helping juries understand the true impact of an injury. He knows how to paint the picture in a juror's mind, equipping them to empathize with his client. Take the woman who recently spent 10 months in the hospital, unable to see her family the entire time. The value of her case goes way beyond hospital bills because she will never get back that precious time with her grandchildren. You know the statistics. Driving 60 miles an hour, you travel 88 feet per second. It takes you a second and a half to react, which means you've gone about 40 yards, almost half a football field, before you could even start to respond. Then you factor in how quickly your vehicle can stop. Kevin Flesh does his job well, but no amount of money can recover 100% of what you lose. So put your phone away and drive.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My mind went there. Hey, I do that show on Saturday. So join us Saturday at 1 o'clock. Got mixed up in my shows here. Welcome to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. We were talking about guns. That's why. I was thinking about hunting already, Kurt. That's what.
You'd like to get out there and get some hunting.
Absolutely, for sure. Our guest today is Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock. And just kind of visiting here, just about our state and Douglas County in general. You know, and you said it a minute ago, and I think the public, most of them probably hopefully understand this, but, man, when you get out of a police car and you walk up to a car, you got no idea what the next 60 seconds hold, you know? And, I mean, it's scary.
You don't. And I got to tell you, I worry about that. I know all the other leaders in the state do as well, about their officers making contacts. It doesn't matter day or night.
Sure.
And, you know, walking up to the car. That's what there's two dangers in this business. Domestic disputes are dangerous because they can turn on a dime on you. And traffic contacts are just as dangerous. Now, sadly, what we're seeing, and this is I'll push the move over law here, is that, you know, the cops get out of the car, and sometimes it's in just a bad situation. And we've had across our country people ran over, and officers hit, and that those are dangerous. But boy, the other part of it is you just don't. It, like you said, that first 60 seconds is the telling time, and then usually once the situation, like I say, most of our your traffic stops are good and it all works out.
Sure.
But we've seen across the country this year was the highest number of officers killed in the line of duty in decades. Obviously, part of that is because they lumped in some of these officers who died from COVID.
Right.
So they died. They contracted on the job based upon whatever their situation was, and then they died. But you know, again. Violence against law enforcement by the use of some weapon, not necessarily just a handgun, but some other kind of weapons is high.
Yeah. So if we even get pulled over for a traffic stop, maybe this helps an officer too. I mean, if the officer can tell you're trying to pull over to a safe spot, if you can pull in a parking lot, do it. And if you just pull off on Santa Fe or something, pull over in a good area, right?
Right.
For the officer, to give them room, right?
Yeah, pull over as far as you can, because I'll also tell you, boy, I tell you, you see a lot of of car dash cam. You're subject to danger too.
Yeah.
So you want to pull over as far as you can, because there are some people that don't pay attention or they're...
It's like they get hypnotized almost.
They do, and we've seen those cars that get hit by. And you want to pull over as far as you can. And I always tell everyone, if it's nighttime, and you're a young lady or a woman, and you're driving, and you see a car that pulls you over, and the lights aren't like they normally are. They don't look normal. Right now, if you get stopped by a marked police car, particularly in Douglas County, you're probably going to get blinded because there's a gazillion lights on them, because that's the new thing. But if there's this one light or whatever, you just keep driving until you get to an area where there's population. Pick up the phone, call 911 at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, the 911 dispatchers might be saying, "Hey," but you call them and say, "Hey, I'm scared. I'm worried about this." They'll know who's there.
Sure.
And that way it's safe. But also you want to pull into an area where it's well lit, so everybody can see. If you pull them where it's lit and the officer comes up and he can see inside the car, I'm not a big fan of tinted windows. I want to tell you that right now. It makes me nervous. You know, roll down your window.
Well, Kevin Flesh, the attorney we were just talking about, Kevin, he made up a little plastic sleeve thing that you can put your insurance, you can put your registration in. And he says, you know what, if you've got that readily available and you just reach above your visor and hand that instead of rummaging around in your car when an officer's walking up, because that makes everybody nervous.
It does. And with the newest technology today, I mean, most of the stuff, even with your driver's license, you know, you put it someplace. Hardly anybody asks you for your driver's license anymore, but put it in a place that's easy to get, and the officer has the ability, and most places right now, you know, we can look at that. They can swipe it through a handheld, or they can take it back to their car and swipe it. But having all that other stuff readily available makes the traffic stop quicker, and you're on your way quicker.
Well, if the officer that's pulling over that lady, if it's a real officer and you drive 3 miles to go to a place and you call, if it's a real officer, he ain't going to care. He's going to say that's fine.
Yes, right.
If it's not, that person's going to give you a hard time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I also, you know, the other issue is a bit, you know, about when getting pulled over by law enforcement, and, you know, for traffic violation or whatever. You know, I always tell everyone, I said, listen, just have both your hands on the wheel, have your stuff ready for you. Wait, roll down your window. Mm-hmm. And wait for the officer to come. Because really, if you were speeding, often, you know, I'm going to throw my wife under the bus right here. She speeds because she's late. And I'm like going, well, you just increased your time to be late now. So let's minimize that by following the rules, okay?
Or starting earlier.
Well, that's a whole nother topic.
That's another concept.
That's another topic. And those things will go much quicker. And everybody will be on their way.
Sure.
I have to ask, and we kind of talked about it a little bit on the break. When there's a mass confrontation, I'm sure you're called more frequently than you've ever been in the past. It seems like somebody has a problem that you're not wearing a mask and you're out. They're going to call the police and get you involved. You're not mask police.
We're not the mask police, and I've said it time and time again, is that when law enforcement gets involved really in public health order issues, it's usually because there's a disturbance between two people have disagreements about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, and they've gone outside of their common sense argument, and either someone pushes somebody or they are starting a disturbance.
Or pepper spray or something.
Yeah, they start a disturbance or, you know, they get into a fight. You know, the other part of it is that if they're in a business or whatever, they're not in compliance, we're still not going to go shut those down. That's not our business either. That's the health department's, and you have to get a court order before we're going to participate in that. And that's a long, lengthy time. And so, you know, again, I go back to why we need our kids in our schools. So, because these young people are going to be adults, and even right now, we need to have this sense of we have a community, and I'm going to be less likely to have an argument with you face-to-face over masks. I'm likely just to turn around and walk away. And that's what you should do. You know, just why get into an argument with someone because you have a difference of opinion if you should wear it or you shouldn't wear it. There's places to assert those issues, and you know, that's legislatively.
I have to tell you a story. If you want to go to a bank, some banks are closed and they work by appointment only. So my wife the other day, she called a bank to set up a time to go in. And they tell her, now, when you come in on your appointment time, make sure you have a mask on. So we're wearing a mask to go to a bank. It's just kind of like, okay, you really want me to do that?
So yesterday, we have, I'm not going to share a bunch of information so my investigative crew don't get upset at me here. But, you know, we have an armed robbery yesterday, and a guy goes in. And it's, those make me nervous, and we've had talked about it. So he's got a hoodie on. Well, it's cold. It's 22 degrees.
Right.
So he's got a hoodie on, okay? And he's got a mask on now. And it's a big mask, all right, and the hoodie's big, and of course, he's got a gun, and he robs the place, all right, and so the officer, they're airing it, and I was actually out in the car, I heard it, and they're airing it, yeah, we got it, this is what we're looking for a guy in a gray hoodie. I'm like, what?
That's easy.
A gray hoodie? Is there
in this weather.
Is there anything else? Well, he's got a mask on, and everybody's got a mask, and two beady eyes. Yeah, and so, those are the kinds of things where... It's very, very, I think some people get nervous. I went to my bank this last week and wore my mask, and I actually, took it off and I walked in real quick because I'm like, they want to see my face. And I could see them looking at me, and then I saw the mask sign. Oh, wait.
Got to put it back.
Because I was in plain clothes. I wasn't in uniform. And I think it's just this new, different thing that makes people uncomfortable. And... We've got to find a way. And again, like I said earlier when we were off the radio there, I think that people that are most vulnerable just by history, if you're 50 years or older, you're probably vulnerable. You're probably susceptible. And if you did get COVID, you probably want to have good medicine and good doctors and do what you can because that's where you're vulnerable. People under that age are less vulnerable, and the younger they are, they're okay. And so, I have a policy in my office. You're going to wear a mask when you make a contact with a citizen, and you're going to wear a mask when you're in the public areas of my office because that's where the citizens are at, and we have to respect them as they would respect us. And so we wear a mask when we're in those public areas. That keeps my people from being sick, and now I got people to still work. Because I've left my office has been open. We never shut down during COVID at all. We kept our offices open. The citizens had the free will to come in and meet with a deputy, and we kept everything open. We made some adjustments. We talked offline a little bit about some of the neat adjustments we did technology-wise. We did our concealed handgun permits. We did everything online. People were able to do everything and just wait to get it done and then come in, do your fingerprints, and boom, you got your permit.
Mm-hmm.
So we've learned some things, and we've evolved around this whole process of learning to deal with COVID, but I also think we need to continue to learn. We can't just get stuck and say, "Wow, this is the way it's going to be now forever. This is it." And that's
no, not, it's not going to. No, I don't think so.
No,
it we'll get past the mask part. It might be 2022, but we'll get past it.
I need to invest in the mask making business first.
Man, I'm telling
you. You know, when it first came out, everybody, you look at that, and say, "What are you doing?" And then the stores are just filling up with them. Now you can't find them. Well, you can, but they're kind of expensive.
And now there's kind of a promotion going on to wear a double mask.
Yes.
Two masks.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I was in the business of selling masks, I'd be all over this.
Yeah.
I mean, so, no, you got to have like three masks on, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. And you got to get a new one every day.
And carry one for your buddy.
That's right.
In case you can. Going back to traffic stop real quick, one other thing Kevin talked about too, he says, just be nice to the officer. Yeah. I mean, if you feel like you were right, wrong, whatever, be respectful, because he said, you know what? They make notes on the back of a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
That talks about your demeanor a little bit. And then if he said, if you call me to help you with that, it helps me if they go, man, this guy was so respectful and nice, or just went off.
And you have to also understand that there are some law enforcement agencies that write tickets. They do, and they're supposed to write tickets, okay?
That's how they function.
And right, and so the cop writes tickets, and he may not have his number done yet, and so he stops you, and you're nice, and says, "Well, I got to write you a ticket, but I'm going to do some street side negotiations were here, so I'm not going to write you for the top end. I'm going to write you for the bottom end, and I'm going to write on turn that thing over, and I'm going to say, you know, in our case, ours is all electronically. We're going to type that in there. Said this guy was the nicest guy, very respectful, admitted to doing what he did, was sorry, and you know, didn't make any excuses. I mean, basically defending the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then it goes to trial. You know, it goes to
the DA
for the DA or whatever. And like, okay, yeah, this guy.
See, I just say when they pull
me over, points, 120, have a nice life.
That's right. Yeah.
I just say, man, Tony is going to kill me for getting this.
He's going to be upset.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I learned about the tickets when I was 16 in Florida. I got my first ticket. I got my first card, got my first ticket. Yeah. And in Florida, you had to take your mother or your father with you to court. Well, it was much easier, I thought, to take mom. So mom went to court, and the judge took the ticket, and he turned it over, and he read on the back that I cut the officer off 5 times in 7 blocks that was trying to get me. And he wrote all of this on the back, and the judge looked up, and he saw my mother's face. He said, "You weren't aware of any of this, were you?" She said, No, I wasn't.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Yeah.
So I learned real quick that they write on the back of tickets.
They do, and I agree with you. If everyone's nice, and I say this too, if you have an officer that's not polite and is rude to you, you be polite, you take whatever it is, and you call their internal affairs division immediately. Right then, say, "I just got this ticket right now from this guy," or maybe you wait till you get home and you call him and say, I just felt like I was treated poorly." Mm-hmm. You know, because we shouldn't. That should not happen either. They need to be respectful to the citizens, and you report that, because maybe there's a bag, maybe he just had a bad day, but maybe there's something going on, or maybe this guy's a 2 or 3 time offender, and he needs some re-education, and we need to get him to a training program.
Maybe having
you
a bad day.
You can't fix any. I always tell people this in business: the owner can't fix anything, so to speak, if they don't know there's
a
problem.
They don't know about it. That's right.
So. And he may be having a bad day, and he just needs to be realigned for the day.
Exactly.
You never know.
Yeah. And you should do that on any of those kind of contacts, because, like, you're right. I have no idea unless you tell me. Mm-hmm. And then if you tell me, we're gonna look into it for sure, and that's why I have, and most agencies, they have internal affairs divisions for that very thing.
With everything that's gone on in the last year, through the COVID and all the political upheaval, what changes, what positives have come out for the Douglas County Police Department that you see? Things that have gotten better because of that.
So one of the things is we'd have these neighborhood watches. And we would go to a neighborhood watch in person, and we'd have maybe 4 or 5 people. They'd come over to someone's house, and it'd be like 4 or 5 people there. Well, we couldn't do that in COVID. So we started doing neighborhood watches by Zoom.
So,
and we got like 20 people. Way more people involved. And so we started doing coffee with a cop, lunch with a cop on Zoom. And we'd do it live, Facebook Live. And we'd get tons of people on it and asking questions. Before we'd have coffee with a cop, I'd go to a coffee shop, and I'd have 6 or 7 people show up, or 10 or whatever, and they would monopolize a question. Now we do it on Facebook Live. I mean, we are expanding our reach to the community because of this.
That's a very good thing.
And that's a very good thing. Yes. We've learned some efficiencies in our office. One thing we learned early on, this is like in March, I think it was, we had essential personnel, you know, and everybody's, you know, in law enforcement, you got to understand there's a hierarchy there, you know, the cool guys, you know, and everything. We'd have essential personnel. After the second week, we reevaluated that very quickly, because all the people that we thought were non-essential, we could not function without them.
Yes.
And we had a whole bunch of people wander around that had an essential category who were doing nothing. And I'm like, we're switching this around. And so it took us a little while to get it sorted out, but we found out that there are certain, you know, units that could function differently. And we had certain people that could function from home and still be very, very efficient. Matter of fact, we got more work out of them than before. And so we learned a lot of those good things. We've done some things where all of our briefings are now, a cop goes and gets in his car. He just comes in, parks his car, gets his car assigned to him, hops in, turns on his MDT, and the boss has already started training now. And he might have a preloaded message that said, "Hey, you got a 5-minute training on Police One. Go do it real quick." And we're gonna have our training at this time. Click over, and it would all come up, you know, on a live feed, and the sergeant would give briefings and everything. so much more efficient because you know how it is. I don't sure. know about you guys, but if you get a bunch of cops together at a briefing time at 2 o'clock, they got to have coffee. They got to get yeah. their donut.
Exactly.
Okay.
And well, you also got the drive time there and the drive well, yeah, time away. Yeah, it sucks up a lot of valuable time.
It is. And then all of a sudden, well, I got to talk to my buddy and I got to go see yeah. this guy. And also, it's 2:45.
Yeah.
This guy's still not out on the job. But beforehand, you know, we're getting it done. And so we're doing a lot of those kinds of things, which I don't think we'll ever go back to the old way because we've figured
more efficient.
More efficient.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ride-alongs, are those available or kind of with COVID now, are you not doing as many or how do people
so they are want to do they we do ride-alongs. We've obviously shut those off because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to revisit that now with the basic questionnaire that we've done. And again, it's going to be the people that are more, you know, more likely not yeah. to be sick. And then maybe do the questionnaire. Have you done any of the kinds of things you have? You've been out of the state, country. You've been out of the country.
Yeah.
Have you been sick in the last mm-hmm. 10 days around anybody? You know, those questions. No. And then we can kind of start getting back. Because I think it's very important for our community to see what's going on and to be a part of it.
It was a huge, and I mentioned this before, and I'd love to do it sometime, but I did it with a state patrol, you know, a gentleman in our church a number of years back. And I tell you, when you see it from that perspective, like I say, it changed a lot the way I even see, you know. And just
sure.
driving, I tell you what, when you're parked up where you guys hide sometimes, you know, yeah. for different to do right, and you see the speed when you're just sitting there, that people go. I mean, and including myself at times, I admit, you know, but I mean, are you following so close? And you're like, man, they're going 80 miles an hour, and there's way they could stop.
I'll tell you, for the Douglas County listeners and anybody who wants to come into the county, if you're driving Highlands Ranch Parkway from University to Broadway, okay, that's 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Not 90, it's 45. And
that stretch up Quebec off Lincoln going up toward Coles and all that, too.
Same thing. That is also 45 miles an hour. Yeah. And it slows once you get it closer up there.
Now he tells me.
Yeah.
Yeah. After my two visits. Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, it is when you get to see it and you're like, wow, this is. I went out and worked Halloween. And it was kind of interesting. And because I just wanted to see what was going on. And it was a shock for me, too, as well. I was like, wow. The other part of it was is a good sense for me to be in one of those cars, and there was tons of kids everywhere.
Oh, man. Still.
They were everywhere. And, you know, jaunting across the street and stuff, and you just have to pay attention. And then you see somebody like zooming home or whatever, like, dude, you're in a neighborhood that's, you know, probably 25 or 35 miles an hour, you know, and the radar pops up, you know, like, dude, it's registering you at 45. You know, you're double the speed. So, yeah, that is kind of a neat thing. And I think every ride-along that we get and have had, people have come back and said, wow, I didn't really know that. We do a Citizens Academy, too, and we take them out to the range and do the scenario shooting, which is really good because that is something we talk about. People, if you're going to buy guns, please train on them for your own safety, for nothing else. Learn how to operate it. And we do the decisional shooting out at our range, and it's really great, the newest technology. And you have to make a split second decision.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we brought a bunch of attorneys down and had them come over and some business people, and they're like, ooh, okay, we didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I mean, they were shooting up the neighborhood.
Threats over.
everybody got shot. It really makes a difference for people to have that experience.
Sheriff, we appreciate your time.
You know, you guys, I love being here. I knew you guys, I'd get you right to the end of the hour, and I appreciate you giving me this extra time that
We'll have you back again.
Thank you, guys, and Happy New Year to both of you.
Kurt, thanks for setting this up, sir.
This is one of my best shows. I like this. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for being with us today. Everybody be careful, slow down, and be nice to our local officers, all right? Have a great day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.